Well, I don't think the question of greatness has gone away since Jesus' day. From Muhammad Ali's signature boast a generation ago about being the greatest, to the best-known slogan of the 2016 election, Make America Great Again, to the events of the last few weeks as we contemplate the lessons learned from America's longest war, we continue to discuss and debate what constitutes greatness. Given the success-oriented culture we live in, the meaning of greatness touches each of us. Why are you working so hard? What drives you? What are you trying so hard to achieve? When you say you are trying to get ahead or get to the top, what does that mean? This passage leads preacher Brian McLaren to wonder if, while many of us are always trying to get on the escalator to ride it up, Jesus is always getting on the escalator to ride it down. Putting it another way, says McLaren, sometimes we disciples are solely intent on climbing the ladder of success, while Jesus has always been solely intent on descending the ladder of service. If you were with us last week for Rally Sunday, this scene, also from Mark 9, has a familiar ring to it. Having just heard Mark's account of Jesus' prediction of his passion at Caesarea Philippi and Peter's rejection of that mission, Jesus once again tells his disciples that he will be betrayed, killed, and raised on the third day. And they again do not understand or believe what he is saying, even though this is the second time he has told them. Mark narrates that Jesus and the 12 are passing through Galilee, and when they come to Capernaum, he asks them, "What are you arguing about on the way?" They don't answer, and soon we find out why. Mark says, on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. That's all Mark tells us. The 12 are spared a rehearsal of their self-praise. If they were arguing about which of them was the greatest, we can imagine their conversation to have gone perhaps something like this. James and John, two of Jesus' closest associates, freshly persuaded of their elite status by a private audience with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, had asserted their superiority. They would be the ones to sit at Jesus' right and left when he comes in glory. Peter had boasted of a faith great enough to walk on water. Simon the Zealot had touted his revolutionary zeal. Matthew, the tax collector, had prided himself on his powerful connections. Judas, the treasurer, was filled with the self-importance of the one who holds the purse strings. But instead of sharing with Jesus the substance of their argument, the disciples remain silent. Instead of commiserating with one another about the sad news that Jesus had just shared with them, about his impending death, they are arguing among themselves who is best suited to assume leadership after he's gone. Jesus reads as much from their silence to his question. He sits down, calls them, and says, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Since in the kingdom of God, the first shall be last and the last shall be first, it's imperative to make oneself last now by serving others. Those who become servants of all, who have embraced the lowliest of vocations, will emerge as the greatest in God's kingdom." And to illustrate his point, Jesus takes a child in his arms. In Greco-Roman culture, children were the least valued members of society, not yet fully human. Children had no legal rights. A father had the right to brutally, to punish, to sell, to pawn, to expose, and even to kill his own child. Newborns could be abandoned in a public place where they would generally either die or be picked up by strangers and raised for profit as slaves, prostitutes, or beggars. Baby girls were especially vulnerable to this fate. The status and treatment of children in Jewish culture was more positive. Jews considered children to be a blessing from God. Exposure and infanticide were prohibited by Jewish law. Nevertheless, the disciples' rebuke of those who were bringing children to Jesus in Mark's next chapter, chapter 10, shows that within Judaism too, children were considered socially and religiously insignificant. In embracing that child, Jesus condescends to love and serve one of the most vulnerable human beings in their midst. Jesus' act of elevating a child to the center of his teaching about who would be the greatest in his kingdom reverberated in the 20th century civil rights movement when black children played a crucial role in dismantling Jim Crow segregation throughout this nation. The 1954 Supreme Court decision, Brown versus Board of Education, that provided the legal foundation for the civil rights movement, was set in motion when the Reverend Oliver Brown of Topeka, Missouri, who tried to register his 10-year-old daughter, Linda, in an all-white elementary school in that city. That landmark Supreme Court decision immortalized Linda Brown's name in the historic record of the American legal system and changed the course of civil rights. 4 days after the February 2018 killing of 17 students at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, Cameron Caskey, a junior at the school, announced that he and his friends were organizing a national march on Washington to advocate for sensible gun laws. A month later, on March 24th, over 1 million people participated in D.C. and in other marches around the country, including here in Madison, and is now recognized as one of the largest protest marches in American history. Led by high school students, the March for Our Lives movement was born that day and has become a potent voice in the public square advocating for universal background checks and the reinstatement of the assault weapons ban. Swedish student Greta Thunberg says she first heard about climate change in 2011 when she was 8 years old and could not understand why so little was being done about it. For the next 2 years, she constantly challenged her parents to lower the family's carbon footprint, warning her parents that they were stealing her future. In August of 2018, at the age of 15, Greta started spending her afternoons outside the Swedish parliament to call for stronger action on climate change. Soon after, other students joined her and engaged in coordinated protests around Sweden. Greta's notoriety around the country led to an invitation to speak at the 2018 United Nations Climate Change Conference, where her plain-spoken critique of political and business leaders gained her an international following. Within a year, student-led protests were happening every week somewhere in the world, involving over 2 million children. Her growing influence on the world stage is described as the Greta effect, in pricking the conscience of world leaders and inspiring a new generation of young people to take up the cause of climate change. In 2019, Forbes magazine included Greta on their list of the world's 100 most powerful women, and she has received 3 consecutive nominations for the Nobel Peace Prize. Malala Yousafzai was only 11 years old in 2009 when the Taliban took control of the Swat district of Pakistan, where she and her family lived. As an advocate for the education of girls, she began to write a blog under a pseudonym for a BBC-affiliated radio station about her experiences living under the Pakistani Taliban. The following summer, a New York Times journalist made a documentary about her life as the Pakistani military intervened in the region. She soon rose to prominence both in Pakistan and abroad, giving interviews in print and television. In 2012, while on a bus in the Swat district after taking an exam, Malala and two girls were shot by Taliban gunmen in an assassination attempt in retaliation for her activism. Malala was hit in the head with a bullet and remained unconscious and in critical condition. The attempt on her life sparked an international outpouring of support as her condition began to improve. A German newspaper reported in 2013 that she may have become the most famous teenager in the world. After her recovery, Malala became a prominent activist for the right to education. She co-founded the Malala Fund, a nonprofit organization supporting universal education around the globe. In 2013, she wrote her memoir, I Am Malala, which became an international bestseller. And in 2014, at the age of 17, she was the co-recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, the youngest person ever to receive that honor. Linda Brown, Topeka, Missouri. Cameron Kasky, Parkland, Florida. Greta Thunberg, Sweden. Malala Yousafzai, Pakistan. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child welcomes me." This is what greatness in the eyes of God is all about. And so we end where we began. Why are you working so hard? What's driving you? What are you trying so hard to achieve? Who are you letting define what being great means for you? Amen.